Every once in a while, you have to change the way you're doing things. And that's a good thing. I'm grateful for Wally and for Crystal and for Leanne to come up and get us through some things. Got a text this morning early from Kiko that said that her basement was full of water. And so that is a difficult thing. And I know that Seth and maybe some others are over there trying to help them dry out. And I understand a little bit of what that's like. But at the same time, God is good. And Mike said before he left here, he came to get some shop vacs and do some things. And he said before he left, today's going to be a good day. Today is going to be a good day. Now, having said that, I got a text from Kiko just a few minutes ago. It said, Mike said that procrastination is waiting a year to put a sump pump in. Now, I want you to know I asked for permission before I use that. But procrastination has consequences, doesn't it? And I know that because of experience. I usually take Monday as a day off. And so Diane has asked me to do things. I say I'll do it Monday. Now, this might be Tuesday the previous week. And then she'll ask me again. I say I'll do it Monday. And finally, Monday comes and goes, and I don't have it done. And she says to me, what Monday were you talking about? Because you can push things past where they need to go. By the way, I've realized that if I do them today, I don't have to do them tomorrow. And there are some benefits from being free to having the next day free to do what comes up that day. I read a story this week. It said a farm boy accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn in the road. The farmer who lived nearby came to investigate. Hey, Willis, he called out, forget your troubles for a spell and come on in and have dinner with us. Then I'll help you get the wagon up. Willis said, that's mighty nice of you, but I don't think Pa would like it. Ah, come on, the farmer insisted. Well, okay, the boy finally agreed, but Pa won't like it. After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked his host. I feel a lot better now, but I just know that Pa is going to be real upset. Don't be foolish, exclaimed his neighbor. By the way, where is he? Under the wagon. I guess procrastination didn't make Pa very happy then either. But I don't think there's anything to gain. I know there's nothing to gain in procrastination. But stand with me as I read this scripture. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 57. You can read along on screens. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my Father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your presence in this place today. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth, that you would open our hearts to learn, to see you high and lifted up in all your glory. And Lord, as we are drawn to you, I pray we're drawn to your word. May every word that is spoken today, every thought be taken captive, everything we do be for your glory and for your honor, and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Three men in this story. Three men who could have or should have become disciples, but they wouldn't do what Jesus told them to do. Has that ever been true of you? That you would not do what Jesus told you to do, and maybe you're just going to push it off for a while. Maybe when I have more time. Maybe when I have more desire. Maybe. Are we like that? Do we tend to make excuses for why we're not doing those things today? Each one of those men came to Jesus and asked the question. He didn't go seeking them. They came to him. The first man, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Maybe this guy was close to home. And maybe he was unwilling to make the sacrifice to follow Jesus. That have been true of you? That we're unwilling to make the sacrifice necessary to follow him? Years and years ago, in another lifetime, I was at Diane and I were at a tent revival, and she was pregnant with our first, with Michael, and I believe God called me to the ministry in that revival. And I shared that with Diane and with others. And then it was time, when it was time to do something about it, I said no. After all, Diane's pregnant with our first child. What am I going to do to make money? And so I pushed it off. And the longer I pushed it off, the further I got away from God. Until I not only heard from Diane, but I heard from a fellow at work that I shared the gospel with, Tom, I thought you were a Christian. Because I procrastinated, because I didn't do what God called me to do. And I'm thinking, that's true. If it's true in my life, it's true in yours. Or it can be true in yours. When God speaks and asks you to follow him, or when you say, God, I will do whatever it is that you want me to do, and you say, I'm going to put it off, then be ready, because then you start to slide away from God. I can remember going to church. I still went to church. I still did some things. But I remember the pastor giving invitations, and I refused. Even though I was under conviction by the Holy Spirit, I refused to go forward. And basically I said to God, I'll do this when I'm ready to do this. Anybody ever felt that way? I was pushing God off. I was procrastinating over what I know I what I knew I needed to do. And then one Sunday, it was almost like it was literal. God grabbed me by the collar and said, "Today. Today. No more pushing it off. Today." But sometimes, many times, God calls us to do things. Maybe he's called you to teach Sunday school. Maybe he's called you to sweep the floors. Maybe he's called you to cook. Maybe he's called you to do any number of things in the church. And you say, no, I don't have time. I don't have the desire. I'd rather do something else. Well, if you say you'd rather do something else, get up and go do it. Does it make sense? It does to me. He evidently considered the cost of following Jesus, and he was unwilling to do what was necessary. Second man said, let me go and bury my father. There is nothing in this scripture that would indicate that his father was dead. He had other priorities. Now understand, these are men that came to God, came to Jesus, and volunteered to do whatever it was. And he said, let me go bury my father. And Jesus is what Jesus says is, let the dead bury their dead. Now that seems callous, doesn't it? But what he is not saying is that, what he is saying rather, is we need to establish priorities. How important is God in your life? We need to establish priorities. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. What's Jesus saying? I need to be the priority. I need to be the most important thing in your life. I think, Jesus is not saying to literally hate your family. What he is saying is this: your love for me needs to be so great that your love for anything or anyone else seems like hatred. Can we say that about ourselves? Are we that much in love with Jesus? Is he the single most important thing in our lives? Or have we allowed something else to get in the way? I've said this before, but I just keeps going through my head. Anybody remember John Wooden? John Wooden was a coach at UCLA. They won national championship after national championship after national championship. John Wooden would walk the sidelines with a rolled up piece of paper in his hand. Over and over again, he had that rolled up piece of paper. There was a coach on his staff named Denny Crum. Denny Crum went to coach Louisville. And Denny Crum would walk the sideline with what? A rolled up piece of paper in his hand. Denny Crum became a disciple of John Wooden and put John Wooden's practices in the practice of his life. A disciple is one who trusts God completely. Warren Wiersbe said, salvation means coming to the cross and trusting Jesus. Discipleship means carrying the cross and following him. How many of us are disciples? We can find excuses for not becoming true disciples, can't we? The biggest one that I hear and I use every once in a while is, I don't have time. I just don't have time. What am I saying if I don't have time? It's not really a priority. It really doesn't matter to me. I've got more important things to do in my life than to put all this stuff aside and follow Jesus. There is a cost to following Jesus. You have to give up a number of things. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's your own, for example. I haven't gotten this part right yet, so I don't want Diane to say anything. Just maybe, you have to turn the television off. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, you have to miss an Ohio State football game. Well, I haven't had to do that yet because they have TVs in the building. But we find excuses all the time. Right now, it's not a priority. Listen, there are a lot of people who have children who are running all over the country to soccer and baseball and softball and basketball, doing all these things, and they're not in church. What are you teaching your children? What do we teach our children by neglecting God? There has to be a priority in our lives, doesn't there? I'm not willing to do what's required. You know, if we're going to be a disciple, we have to know who Jesus is and what he did. You know the best way to know who Jesus is and what he did? Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spend time in the Bible. And maybe we think we don't have enough time to read the Bible. I will tell you as a believer, you don't have enough time not to read the Bible. We need to spend time in God's Word. How else are we going to know what God expects of us? How else are we going to grow into the image of Christ? That is God's goal for every believer. Romans 8:29 says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And you and I, in one form or another, are being conformed to the image of Jesus. How you doing? Are you more like him today than you were a month ago or 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 5 years ago? Are we growing in our faith? When I first started preaching, I didn't really understand. But you know, you're just preaching for the first time, and you're going around to churches. I did a lot of pulpit supply, and you'd walk into churches and you'd think, "What am I going to say? What am I going to say to these people?" Because, you know, many of them have been saved 40 years, 45 years. I hadn't been a Christian a long time. But I realized after a while, you say what God gives you to say. But what I found out in doing all of those things and in every church that I've ever been in or preached in, the fact is there are people there who have been a Christian, they're 1 year old in the Lord, and they've been a Christian 40 years. Because we don't grow. Because we refuse to grow. Because we don't open the Bible. Because we don't pattern our lives after the life of Christ. And how horrible is that? Paul said to the church at Corinth, at the time when you should be eating meat, you still are drinking milk. We are supposed to grow in our relationship with Christ. And if we're not growing in our relationship with Christ, it's not his fault. It's our fault. We need to take responsibility for our lives once in a while. I can't blame anybody else. I can't say I don't have time. Time is there for all of us. We all have 24 hours in a day. And we will do whatever it is that is important to us. And we can push back, become a disciple. One day I'll do that. My kids will be raised and I'll give everything to Jesus. You know what? If you don't do it when your kids are growing up, you won't do it later then either. Discipleship is something you can't push back. You can't procrastinate about. We do. Becoming a disciple has to be a priority. How willing are we to carry the cross and become disciples? How willing are we to suffer for Christ and become disciples? Third man was looking back instead of looking ahead. Just let me go do this first. What Jesus said, no man who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And all of these volunteered, all these men volunteered. You know, sometimes I think that, I forget who said it, I should have written it down. But the man in Luke 9, particularly the last one, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me first say farewell to those at my home. Anybody ever heard the phrase, the tyranny of the urgent? That's a killer. We know what's important, right? We plan for what's important, or we should be planning for what's important, and then all of a sudden, up jumps something else. And we get caught in that and put off what really is important. We are controlled sometimes by the little stuff. And we push the important stuff away. The tyranny of the urgent. The tyranny of the urgent often causes us to procrastinate, putting off the most important things to do the menial. Procrastination robs us of opportunities to serve. Believers are called to serve, aren't we? We're called to follow the example of Jesus. I've come to seek and to save. I've come to serve, not to be served. How much easier is it for us to be served than it is to serve? If we're going to serve, we have to get up and do something. If we're going to serve, we have to make sacrifices. We're going to have to do things we may not want to do at times we may not want to do them. Things are going to be inconvenient. And a lot of us like to live inside our comfort zone, and we don't like to be challenged. And so things that would cause us to be cause inconvenience in our lives are just something we're going to push away. I thought about this and opportunities to serve. Someday I'll get involved. Someday I'll get involved. How many believers have spiritual gifts? How many?
All.
How many of those with spiritual gifts are supposed to use them?
All.
Huh. So let me ask you this. What keeps believers from using their spiritual gifts? Fear doesn't count. Has God given us gifts? If God has given us gifts, He will enable us to do what He's called us to do. He will equip us to do what He's called us to do. He will empower us to do what He's called us to do. And whatever God calls you to do, you cannot fail there if we rely on God. God's called you, God sends you, God will be with you. And we need to follow Him. But let me ask you this. When is it okay to quit? At what age do you quit serving? Never? Moses' retirement plan was death, wasn't it? The Christian's retirement plan ought to be death. Well, I can't do that. I've done that in the past. I can't do it any longer. You ever heard that? You know, if you can't do that back there, you can do something right here. There is always something in God's service to do. And sometimes by procrastinating, we miss opportunities for service. Not only for serving God, but for serving others. We need to live today. Procrastination can keep people from being saved. And that's a tragedy. People say, I don't have time. I can't. I'm not. Acts chapter 24. Verse 22. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I will decide your case. Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. And we're talking about Paul here. And after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. What it says is, Felix had an accurate knowledge of the way, which was Christianity. He heard it. He knew about it. He didn't believe it. And Paul started to talk to him about righteousness and self-control and coming judgment. And what did Felix say? Go away. Go away. When I get the opportunity, I will call you. You know, the fact is, you walk out this door this morning, or even here. Not long ago, I read about a pastor who died of a heart attack preaching in the pulpit. We don't have tomorrow or next week, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. You may not have tomorrow. If God is working in your life today, then respond today. It doesn't matter if you're calling you to salvation, calling you to recommit your life, calling you to vocational ministry, calling you to grow deeper in a relationship with Him, do it today. You don't necessarily have tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says this, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. James chapter 4, turn there with me. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Tomorrow takes care of itself. It's not wrong to plan. Don't hear me say it's wrong to plan. But it is wrong to push everything off and not do today what God calls you to do. The question remains, what are we waiting for? Why are we still procrastinating? Salvation, why would we put off being saved? I've been in services, and so have you, that people are so under conviction they can barely stand to sit still. Jonathan Edwards preached one time, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And they still have pews where people were holding on so tightly to those pews that they were so afraid of dropping into hell. They wouldn't let go, yet they didn't respond to the gospel. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus says in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Is that narrow? Absolutely it is. But Jesus is God and He sets the parameters. There is one way to Christ. And it is up to us individually to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just the pastor, the elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers. It is the responsibility of every believer, everyone who names the name of Jesus, to share the gospel with those who need to hear. You are around people that I will never see or know. I'm around people that you will never see or know. And I want you to do, I want you to pray for a friend of mine named Tim. I've known Tim for 15 years or so. We met first at Panera when it was down in the middle of town. I knew him. I got to know him because he was a friend of Dennis Evans, who was Bud's son. Tim has a lot of hot buttons. He's angry a lot. But I was with him alone. Nobody else came the other day to Panera, and we were talking, and he said, what bothers me most about my life is I never took my girls to church. Tim's an unbeliever. And it bothered him that he never took his kids to church. And he said, "I need to read the Bible. One day I need to start reading the Bible." And I said, "How about tomorrow?" He didn't have a Bible. So I came back to the office. I got a Bible. The next morning I took it and gave it to him. And Tim said, "Thanks, I'll read it and I'll give it back to you." I said, no, I don't want it back. It's yours. And then we talked about reading the Bible. And with new believers, for me, I always point them to the Gospel of John. And Tim's beginning to read it. And he's beginning to ask questions. And one day, I'm not forcing him, I'm not manipulating him, but I promise you, one day, Tim's going to ask me how to be saved. And when he does, I'm coming and I'm shouting it from the rooftops. Amen. We are responsible for sharing the gospel. Not just the pastor. I may get opportunities that you don't. But you're responsible for sharing the gospel just as much as I am. And what will keep us from doing that is procrastinating. Pushing it away. Pushing it to the side. Procrastination, I said earlier, keeps us from becoming the disciples. It keeps us from serving God. After all, isn't it the cry of a lot of people? Why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? I say that, and my name's right in there. Is it okay? I mean, I got to get better at this stuff. And I will. Do it today, it frees up tomorrow. I read this story this week. It was from Our Daily Bread, the devotional. We have some of those here, but it wasn't in these issues we have. An incident from the American Revolution illustrates what tragedy can result from procrastination. It's reported that Colonel Rawl, a commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, was playing cards when a when a courier brought him an urgent message that George Washington was crossing the Delaware. Rawl put the letter in his pocket and didn't bother to read it until the game was finished. Then, realizing the seriousness of the situation, he hurriedly tried to rally his men to meet the coming attack. But his procrastination was his undoing. He and many of his men were killed, and the rest of the regiment was captured. Nulbert Quayle said about this, "Only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honor, and the liberty of his soldiers." Earth's history is strewn with the wrecks of half-finished plans and unexecuted resolutions. And then he said this, "Tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the incompetent." Ouch. Tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the incompetent. God forbid. That should be our cry. Wait till tomorrow. Don't wait. God's calling you to serve, get up and go. God's calling you to believe, get up and do it. If God's calling you to share the gospel with some, get up and go. Not tomorrow. I learned some time ago, and I haven't, more than not, this has been true in my life. If I'm at my desk and I'm praying or I'm reading, and somebody's name comes to mind, I turn around and call them. Because generally, there's something going on in their lives. I learned that the first time years and years ago. And I'll think of her name in a minute. Her last name was Arthur, Sharon. Elnora Arthur. Elnora Arthur worked for the state convention, and she came to the church, and when the hymnal was first came out, the new hymnal, she gave me a copy, and she'd broken her leg. And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm praying, and all of a sudden her name comes to mind. And I turn around and call her, and an EMT guy answers the phone. She'd just had a heart attack. You see, I believe that was God. I believe it was God telling me to call her. I dropped everything I was doing. I went to the hospital and sat with her husband, Gene. And we sat there for a long time. Then they came out and said that she had passed away. Since that time, to the best of my ability, when God brings someone's name to my mind, I find a way to get in touch with them. We can procrastinate and push that off, can't we? Do what God has called you to do today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for your word, for your example. We thank you for a second chance. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with immediacy, the fact to do what you've called us to do, when you've called us to do it, in a way that you've called us to do it. Lord, I thank you that you are with us, that you guide and direct us, and that you lead us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wally, what are you singing?